Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back. Today is Daf Hayomi, Maka is Daf Chav Beis. We begin 13 lines off the top of the Amud at the Tudats. Maska Flor of Hoshia. Back to yesterday's discussion. One furrow, one charisha, one plow totals 8 violations, generates 8 times malchus. We have a fellow leading a shoyer v'chamor together, it's kalayim, and he's doing this on Yom Tov, and he's planting kalayim, he's a kohen, he's a nazir, and a beis hakvaris, for a total of 8 times malchus. Why only 8? Maska flor av hoshia. I have another one for you. Elikshav nami, why don't we list as well? Hazireya benachal eisan. He's plowing, planting in that ravine which was used to behead the calf, the egla ruf, on account of finding the victim on the road. Close to the city brings an egla rufa, and that area where they brought the egla rufa, that nachal is off limits, and I meant to cultivate it. So he does it down there. He has violated a law which generates malchus. Where is the warning for this? It's not meant to be developed and be planted. That's another iser for a total of 9. Mask of the Rav Chananya. I have another one for you. You can add, while he's plowing, he's passing over a scrubbing against a piece of parchment which has Hashem's name on it, and he's erasing Hashem's name as he's walking along, as he's plowing. And the warning against doing this is based on the pasuk, "Yibadtem es shemam," destroy the avodah zarah. Le'isasun kein Hashem lekechem. Don't do that to Hashem chas v'shalom. So erasing Hashem's name entails an iser, a lav. Maskev l'ravo. I have another one as well. V'lichshav nami hakoytes es bahartay. What if he, as he's plowing, chops off his baharis, his nega? He allows the plow to scrape against his skin and scrape off the nega. And the warning against this is the pasuk of Yishamer b'negat tzaras. Guard, watch out. Yishamer is a loisase. Don't remove the nega. There's another law to add to our list. Mask of Abaye. Here's another one. V'lichshav nami. Why don't we enumerate as well a fellow who's hamaziah hachoshen me'alei eifed. So as he's moving along with this plow, he was wearing the Kohen Gadol's, ephod, the apron with the choshen, with the plate on it, and he pushed aside by this plow, pushed aside his choshen from the ephod, which is an iser. It's meant to be sitting stationary on the ephod. Or v'hameser b'adi arayin. He's pushing aside the supporting poles of the arayin, which are meant to really stay in place. V'azarosim yehoch, and the warning against this is based on the pasuk, lo yosuru, the bottom of the arayin, meant to stay in place. And regarding the choshen, v'leizach ha-choshen. See, we have more opportunities for iser from malchus. Mask of the Rav Ashi. What about v'lich shev nami? Why can't we add as well ha-choresh ba'atzi ha-shera? Let's say the plow, the actual apparatus, was built using asherah wood, avodah zarah wood, which is not allowed. One is not allowed to benefit from avodah zarah, right? V'azarosim yehoch, it's warned from this pasuk, v'lidbek b'yotchem u'umay, not meant to benefit at all from avodah zarah. Maskev l'ravina, I have another option. V'lichshav nami ha'koytis ilonis toivis. What if he's uprooting some fruit trees as he's going along? V'azarosim yehoch, and the warning against this is kimi menot toichel, v'yisulay sachar, he's not meant to destroy. Bal tasha, don't destroy fruit trees. Homolid Reb Zeira, Rabbi Mani, I have another one as well. V'lichshav nami ki'gayin d'omar shvuah. Suppose he made a shvuah, an oath, against planting. Shaloi achresh b'yomtiv. So he's now violating that shvuah as well, which is an isser of lav. Answers the Gemara, that one won't work. You know why? Hasam loy kachalo shvuah. The oath will not take effect. Because every yid already has a standing oath, a commitment to Hashem predating this oath. back when, from Har Sinai, Mushba v'Oimed Har Sinai, every Yid has been sworn from Har Sinai to keep the Torah, to adhere to the mitzvahs, to preserve Yom Tov and refrain from doing Melacha. So this additional Shvua will not take effect. You can't put a Shvua on top of a Shvua. Amarle says, no, I'll tell you how it could work. How a Shvua can forbid him from planting on Yom Tov, or from plowing on Yom Tov. He broadened the scope of the Shvua. I'm not going to plow on the weekday and on Yom Tov. And Rivan says, this is called Isur Kilel, an encompassing Isur. Yeah, you can't pile up one Isur on top of the other. Plowing on Yom Tov already is Isur. You can't add another layer of Isur on top of that. But if the second Shvua, the Isur that he's initiating, has a broader scope, it covers weekdays and Yom Tov. So since the Shvua does take effect, is activated for the weekday element of that commitment, so it triggers it over onto the Yom Tov as well. But once it takes effect, it covers everything. It's called Isur Koilo. Oh, and the Gemara explains, the Migu Duchala Le Shvua B'Chayil, since, Migu means since, it takes effect for the weekday element of that Shvua, it disallows him from plowing on a regular weekday because of the Shvua. Cholol inami b'yomtev, it also takes effect for yomtev and adds another layer of Isra on yomtev as well. Okay. So why isn't this item mentioned in the Mishnah as another possibility for Malkus? Answer: Midi di ise b'she'elu leketani. If you take notice, the Mishnah only mentions Isurim which are absolute and permanent; it can't be undone. But an Isra which came about through his own initiation, like a Shvua, can be relatively easily undone. He goes to the Rav, he goes to the Bezin, and he makes a Torah Nedarim, right? In which case, he can absolve himself from the Isser and avoid the Malkus. So we're not getting involved in those types of cases. Well, really not. One of the Isurim on the list was Hegdish, right? The ox, right, was from Hegdish, Bari Hegdish. Now, typically, a Hegdish process is initiated by the owner. I'm making this hegdish, and that could be undone, like a nether, like a shvua, truma hegdish. These are all, verbal commitments that can be undone with the she'ela. You can go and regret and undo it retroactively. No, we're not speaking about a regular hegdish, but b'chor, firstborn kosher animal, which is naturally kaddish, not by way of the person initiating the kedushas. That can't be undone. That's what the Mishnah is speaking about. Really, varei nazir. On the list, we have the Nazir in the Beis HaKvaros. Nazirus is something that a person commits to. It's a vow. It's a nether. You can undo that. No, but Nazir Shimshon, we're speaking about a special type of, special brand of Nazirus. Nazir Shimshon, who became a Nazir upon the Malach's instructions, upon the angel's instructions, that's not something which you personally initiate. It came from above, from heaven. And likewise, if a person emulates that and accepts that process upon himself, that doesn't allow for undoing through She'elov. Well, if that's the case, then the Mishnah spoke about him being prohibited from entering a Beis HaKvaros, Nazir, Shimshon. Well, that type of Nazirus allows for becoming Tameh. We find that Shimshon himself did it, when he fought the Plishtim, right? Bari Tmui L'Meisimu, he's allowed to become Tameh, so obviously the Mishnah's not speaking about that type of Nazir. Rather, a regular, ordinary, conventional type of Nazir, which allows for undoing through the She'elah, through the Atorah process, takes us back to the question. Why can't we add the fellow who made a Shavua in a format which allows the Shavua to take effect on Yom Tov as well, Isur Kailal, like we explained? A Shavua against plowing on Yom Tov, which gives him another violation, another Malkus. Ella, you're right. Haitana Isur Koilel, less late. This Tana obviously doesn't hold up this idea of Isur Koilel. Although it's targeting the weekdays as well, it's not going to affect Yom Tov, which is already forbidden, and one Shvua cannot be applied on top of another Shvua. And since we all have that commitment from Har Sinai, where we committed with a Shvua to keep the Torah, It's limited to that. You can't add another one on top of that. Interesting. So Tosfos asks, okay, so we solved this item, but what about the other ones? Nachal Eisan and Mechages Hashem, all the other interesting circumstances that would have generated more malchus. So why did the Mishnah mention? So Tosfos says, the main the question was really the last one, because the Mishnah did mention Yom Tov. Now, if we find another Isser based on Yom Tov, so it makes sense to ask, and we have to address that. But regarding the other ones, although there were interesting points that were raised that theoretically are correct, those circumstances would generate additional violations, but for some reason the Tana and the Mishnah, kept his limits and stayed to that picture that he described, and didn't want to get involved in the other, sort of more exotic scenarios. So we didn't really, properly address that and answer those, but we were more concerned about the Yom Tov point, which had been brought up in the Mishnah. Why wasn't that added as another reason for Issur? Because of, the Shvu, and we answered that satisfactorily. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Here's an interesting halacha. Hamarbiya Shoyer, Psule HaMikdashim. If one has an ox from Psule HaMikdashim, which means it was a carbon, which got a blemish, and, the halacha is, at that point, you redeem it, but although you can consume it without taking it to the Beis HaMikdash, but there are certain limitations. You have to still treat it with respect. You can't have it work for you. You can't share its wool. It's asur begiza va'avoida. And the pasuk says, well, it's like tzvi va'aya, like those animals. You can have them. They're yours, and it's mutar ba'achila. Interestingly, says Rabbi Yeshua, if one will take that animal and mate it with another animal of the same type, he violated two Isurim, he gets two Malkus, two sets of Malkus. You know why? Says the Rivan. Interesting, because this animal now has like a double identity. Has an aspect of Chulin, like a regular animal, you can eat it, Zuntahit. Has an aspect of Kachim as well. It's somewhat holy because you see there are limitations, you can't work with it, you can't breed it, that's called avoida, right? Therefore, says the Ribbon, based on the Rosh Hashanah's explanation, that he gets one malchus because he worked with the animal. Being marbia, breeding is considered like avoida, you're only allowed to consume it, no more. And secondly, he did kelayim, listen to this, it's like a crossbreed, because he took an animal that has a kachim element to it, and he breeded it with a regular animal, with chulin. Interesting, the Ravan ends off by saying, this is news to me, v'leishamati raya, minolan, the chulin v'kachim kelayim, where do we find that mixing chulin v'kachim of the same species is considered kelayim? And he ends off with the words v'dvar temahu, it's something which is, wondrous and, sort of new to me. Taisus brings this pshat, and he veers that, after a different pshat, he says, it's not because of the chulin and kachim, it's because the Torah refers to it as a like a double animal, k'tzvi v'ka'ayel, like a tzvi and an ayel, has like two minim in it. That's how the Torah describes it. So therefore, we look at it like that. So therefore, moving it, connecting it, mating it with another, even of the same species, constitutes kelayim, because this psula mekdashim animal has its own unique, identity, unlike the partner. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, likewise, hamanig b'shoyer psula mekdashim loike. If one allows this animal to, pull his wagon, it is considered a violation and generates malchus for the same reason, sharuguf echatu, because although it's just one entity, it's one animal, we find that the Torah considers the kishnei gufim like two, in which case it's like you're being led by two types of animals, which is kalayim. Very interesting. Says the Mishnah, we speak so much about malchus. How many lashes? How is it done? What's the process? Kama malchin oise, how many malchus does a person get? Arboim? Chaser achas. Although the pasuk speaks about the number 40, it's really 39. 40 minus 1. Shnamar b'mispar. It's the number which leads into 40. 40 is the collective amount, right? 9 leads into 10. 39 leads into 40. Shnamar b'mispar, the number of arboim, which leads into arboim, minyan shu samuch, or some agaris, soikim. It concludes the single numbers and leads you into the collective number, l'arboim, to 40. And the Farshim explain why. So why did the Torah present it like this, not just, you know, straightforward 39, to teach us that 40 is the top number, it's the maximum. But you meant to first conduct an assessment, a health assessment on the person, see if he's capable of, how much is he capable of tolerating. And sometimes we give him much less than 39. We don't want to, you know, kill him. The point is to give him that, you know, punishment, that deterrent for the future, kapara. So explains the Rambam. Hence the Lashon b'mispar arboim, to tell you it's mispar. It's not an absolute number. It's a fluid number, a fluctuating entity. And the maximum is, in fact, that number which leads into 40, meaning 39. Rabbi Da'imer, Arboim Shlemus. No, he says it's literally 40, no deductions. Arboim Shlemus, you like it. Now, the whatever number he's going to get, it's going to have to be split into three. It needs to be a number which is divisible, theoretically divisible into three parts, because they're meant to be applied at three locations on the body, on the two shoulders, on the back, and on the front, the chest area in the front. So whatever number he's going to get is going to have to be divisible into three. So 39 makes sense, right? 13 per location. But if it's 40, what happens there? Says the Mishnah, Meichan Uleike Sayisera, where do we apply the additional, the number 40 being safe of between his shoulders? So that's for number 40, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Now, Amdu, as we referenced, there's going to be an Oymed process, an assessment, an evaluation, a medical evaluation in terms of how much he can tolerate and still, you know, survive. So let's say Amdu L'Kabal Arboim. He was a strong, husky fellow, and it was determined that he can accept the full brunt, the full 40, meaning 39. Velaka mixas, and as we're proceeding up to, you know, 25, I see he's not going to hold up. V'amdu, the doctor decided she'ain yochel kabel arboim, he can't go past that. We stop right there. We say, look, he was already put through the grinder. The pasuk says, v'nilka achicha leinecha, and we learn v'nilka means once he's been degraded and embarrassed and shamed, that's it. We don't, you know, come back and add more. Whatever he can tolerate, even though it was less than we expected. V'amdu she'en yochel kabel arboim, he's potter. He's done. And he's free to go. What about amdu l'kabel shmoneh esrei? Let's go the other way around. The doctors assessed him at 18. U'mishalaka, and when they're rolling at 18, amdu she'yochel kabel arboim, they see he's fine. He can go up to 40. Once again, we say it's potter. It's a done deal. We don't add to that. It was determined. That was determined as his punishment. And once he gets it, we say that's it. You've passed the test. You've gotten your kapara. You're good to go. So why only 39? My timer. Doesn't the pasuk mention 40? Answer is iksiv arboim b'mispar. If the Torah would go the other way, arboim b'mispar, yeah, it would mean 40. Havamina arboim b'minyan, it would say it would mean 40. The count of 40. Hash duchsiv b'mispar arboim. Now that it's written the other way around, b'mispar arboim means minyan shu soikim es arboim, like we explained in the Mishnah. Amar Rava, kama tibsho yishar inshi. How silly are many people out there that respect a sefer Torah, the kaimi, they get up and they see a sefer Torah being carried by mikami sefer Torah, but like kaimi mikami gavar rabba, they fail to attribute respect and cover to a talmud chacham. They don't get up. And look how silly they are. Because it was only due to the Talmid Chachamim's insight that they were spared an extra makkah. You would say, but they're Ksiv Arboim. And the Pasuk says 40. So, if you would stop there, it would be 40. Vos Rabbanon. It's only due to the Rabbanon's efforts that it was deducted. Vos Ruchada, they deducted one due to their insight and their explanation. So, be appreciative. Understand the value of Talmid Chacham and Torah Shebaal Peh. They saved you a makkah. Interesting that the Rambam actually seems to learn that in the Torah it's 40. But the Rabbanon were concerned that he might go past 40. So they stopped him a step early, stop at 39, lest you go past, you know, too far. So that's really a rabbinic, you know, sort of note of caution. And you should be happy about it. You should give them credit and understand the value and appreciate the Koyach of Torah Shebaal Peh. Hence, they deserve your respect. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Arbaim Shleimus. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Matamid Rabbi Yehuda. Why does he say the, you know, he gets 40 and the 40th goes between his neck, between his shoulders? We have a pasuk in Zechariah. What's the slap over here between your hands, between your shoulders? Va'amar Asher hu kesi beis ma'avoy. I was killed by my, I was hit by those who love me and try to, you know, correct my ways. So the right from here says Rabbi Yehuda that there's an extra makkah. And in fact, this is, you know, describing the location of that makkah. The Marshal explains that because it's an act of love, it's meant to correct him and, you know, get him his tikkun. So let's not deduct anything. Give him all the way. Give him the full number 40. In any case, that's how he learns the psukim for a total of 40 makkahs. V'rabbonon. Right, so even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that they're meant to be divisible, and there are three locations within the body, but there's a pasuk regarding another location, another makkah, which is number 40. If Rabbanan, they respond, no, it's not going on a regular makkah's application. No, but the pasuk they were speaking about, a loving, you know, Rebbe or a parent who is disciplining the child on the right path, and that's why the Marsha says the makkah is meant to be specifically in a safe place between the shoulder, not in a makam of sakana, a place where it can actually, you know, cause him serious harm. It's just a love tap, like they say. So what happened there in the Mishnah? He receives X amount of makas, and we see we can't really go further. In contrast to our earlier assessment. So the Mishnah says he's potter. That's it, he's free to go. It sounds like only because he already got actual makkos. But if it was just a mistaken assessment, we want to revise our assessment prior to having begun the actual application. Yeah, that we can do. Loka, if you already got some makkos in, yeah, we apply this halacha, case closed. Loy loka loy, but otherwise, suppose it was just an assessment, which turned out to be a mistaken assessment. For instance, if he was assessed at 40, and then turns out he can't take anything, not even one, you don't give him a discount. You wait until he's able to get more, until he gets his regains his health, and you give him full malchus. Likewise, if he was assessed at 18, and then they turn around and reassess him at 39, we don't stop at 18, we give him the full account. That's what it sounds like from the mission. Right? Assessment is not etched in stone. That can be revised. But I mean, we have a brisa which indicates that even assessment is an absolute thing. We don't tinker with assessments. But I mean, amdu l'kavel arboy, for instance, he was assessed at 40. Then they came back for a reassessment. Even one lash would kill him. No, he can't. He's totally not suitable. He's potter. That's it. He's off the hook. Even without getting a single makif. So we don't wait for him to get better and to regain his health. We just send him home. Likewise, if he was assessed at 18, they come back and take another look. Oh, you're good for 40. No, Potter, 18 is 18. We don't add to it. The Bryce is speaking, even though he never experienced any malchus. We stick with the earlier assessment. In contrast to the Mishnah, which indicates otherwise. Omer of Sheish is like Kasha. Depends what kind of assessment. If it was a serious professional assessment, yeah, we stick with it. But in the Mishnah was speaking, and it turns out it wasn't really a proper assessment, apparently, because in the Mishnah was speaking that they made an Oymed evaluation for today, for today's upcoming punishment. In the morning, he was assessed at 40, 39, right? And then right before they gave him the marker, they came around, gave him another quick inspection. Oh, he's not worthy of anything. He can't tolerate even a single marker. Now, something fishy there. Says the Rivan, it seems like, it's hard to believe. Unlikely that his physical, health would have deteriorated so rapidly within the same day, from morning to afternoon, to go from 40 to 0. Apparently somebody made some sort of mistake. There was an error in the earlier assessment. So in this case, the Mishnah says, look, you got to start over. Wait until he gets better, bring him in again, and take a good look at him and see what he needs and what he can tolerate. Likewise, in the case where he was assessed at 18, and push comes to shove, we take another look at him, and he's ready for 39. Again, something's wrong with the original assessment. It was a toast. So we just delete it, we cancel it, and we start fresh. We make a proper assessment and give him what he can tolerate. So that's the Mishnah. Oh, but the Braisa, which attributes value to assessment, doesn't allow for revision and change. The initial evaluation wasn't for today's punishment. It was tomorrow, next week. And as Rivan says, even if it turns out that a week later, upon closer inspection, he's not able or he can do more, we don't assume the original evaluation was an error. It can very possibly, it's very possible that his situation, fluctuated. His health, his physical, state did fluctuate slightly in the interim. In that case, we have to stick with the earlier assessment. For instance, let's say he was assessed at 40. A week later, we see he's not worthy of anything. Says the Rivan Achidish, we don't just revise. We don't just say, okay, let's wait until he gets better and look at him again. No, because the Aymed process is also an embarrassing process. And that's it. He's done. He was embarrassed. He was ashamed at having had forced to undergo that evaluation process, that assessment process. That's also considered v'nikla achicha le'inecha. He's degraded. He's ashamed. He's done because it was a proper evaluation. That's it. He got it. It's done. Even without a single mark. On the other hand, if he was assessed at 18 and now a week later, when we're about to apply, we see that he can take more. It doesn't matter. The first assessment was Oymed Gomer, a properly assessed, proper assessment, and there's no need to redo it. We're not allowed to redo it. That became his, that's been determined as his punishment, as his Oynish. You can't add to it. Okay, so let's just recap again. If Malchus were applied, he's done. Even though it turns out that he can take more. Right? He was meant to take 18, he got his 18, he's done. Likewise, if he was meant to take 40 and he's at 30 and he can't go further, that's it. We send him home and it's done. A proper evaluation is not tinkered with, but a mistaken evaluation needs to be redone. Avar aveira sheyesh bo shnei lavim, says the Mishnah. Suppose he committed one act, like the case in the earlier Mishnah. He did a harisha with that shor, with the kalayim, which triggered two malchus, two sets of malchus. Avar aveira sheyesh bo shnei lavim, amdu oimid echad, so could he get it in one shot, but depends. Amdu oimid echad, if he was assessed that, in one, for both things in one assessment, let's say they say, well, for both averus, we think you can handle 50 ma. And loikil potter gets the 50, is done. Vimla, but otherwise, loikil misrap, b'chazib loikil, but if it's not assessed together, they only assessed for one violation, then loike umisrapi gets that amount of malchus. We wait till he regains his strength. B'chayzer v'leik comes back for more. Says the Gemara, v'atame, we learned in a brayse, ein oimdin, oimed echad l'shnei lavin. We can't do one assessment, one package for both violations. The Mishnah seems to say you could. Amar b'sheish l'kash, it depends how many malchus he was assessed at. Ha'damdu l'arboim v'tarti. The brayse, which says you can't bundle it together, is speaking that they gave him a total of 41. 41 is not divisible into three parts. It doesn't work. Sorry. So 41 is because you're not adding a minimum of three for the new violation. Right? Because really, 39 is the maximum for one violation. So you must add at least three more to accommodate the second violation, to be considered a separate punishment on the second one. If you only got to 41, that's all you can take. You haven't really addressed or included the second violation. So at that point, we have to start, come back again, and punish him for the second one. So we give him, the 39, and next time you come back for whatever he's assessed for the second one. Huh, but the Mishnah, which says you could bundle them together, d'amdu, he was assessed, l'arbam v'tarti. They allowed him 42. He can tolerate 42, so now he gets away by just getting 42 for both. First 39 is applied to the first avera, and the remaining three, which as we explained is an amount that can be divisible, that can be divided into three, so that constitutes a malchus application, and that can be applied for the second avera, even though it's just bare minimum, it's just three. Okay, so again, one avera that has two lavin. Apparently the Bezdin has a choice. They can bundle it together for him, provided there's enough to go around. A, the total number is divisible by 3. And B, the add-on to 39 is at least 3 extra malchus to address the second violation. Okay, says the Mishnah, how do we go about applying malchus? Ketzad malchus, how do we apply the malchus? Kofis Shteyodav al Hamud. So the attendant, the chazan, the attendant of the Bezdin, ties both his hands along the pole. There's like a little post there. Helach v'helach, one hand on either side, ties it there. V'chazan haknesses eichad v'gadav, and the attendant, he's called chazan, by the way, because he's chayze. He's observing. He's always looking out for things to do, to fix, and to maintain the whether it's the shul or the here it's the bezin. Okay, so we call him a chazan akneses. A chazan akneses oiches b'gadav, he takes, grabs hold of the fellow's shirt, his garment. Im nikru, he pulls it, yanks it back to expose his skin. Im nikru, if they got torn off the seam, fine. Im nifrumu, if they got just separated by the seams, fine. Either way, he's not very particular. He gives a yank. Achum galas liba, until he exposes his heart. Ve'evan asuna machram. There's a low, short, like a stone, stepping stone behind the fellow. Me'achram. Chazan akneses amid olav, and the fellow that's going to apply the lashes, the chazan, positions himself on top of that stone to give him that extra leverage over his, over the person. Ritzo b'yado, and he has this strap, this leather strap in his hands, shel egel, made from calf skin, as we're going to see in the Gemara, kfula, it's actually doubled over, echad l'shnayim, doubled into two, shnayim l'arba. Some learn that there's a double strap there, two separate straps sort of, you know, put together. It's like, it's a, you know, piece of leather that's split into two, and each part is then folded, so you end up having two and two, shnayim l'arba, a total of four. Shtei ritzoy shel chamor oilis v'yordesba, you have these two little straps made from donkey skin, which is sort of flapping around there as he's picking it up and down. Oilis v'yordesba, yod ha-tefach, so there's a wooden handle, which is a tefach wide, ruchava tefach, and this whole belt is a tefach wide as well. It's pretty, it's a pretty serious strap. For Rosh Hashanah, it's a long belt, which can be adjusted according to the person's size. Rosh Hashanah Magas Al Pi Kreisa. So basically, if the person is leaning on this, you know, its hands tied to the pole, leaning, you know, let's say from east to west, so the chazan stands along the alongside of the fellow, north-south, so you can strap him over across his back, and the strap reaches over his back, over to the front of his body, over till his stomach. That's how long it has to be. V'roisha magas al pikreis. U'maka oisoi, and he applies the makas, shlish melefano, v'shteyodos melachrov. A third of the number of the makas will end up in the chest area, and two-thirds of the makas on his back, and the Rambam explains it's a third on each shoulder. The fellow applying the makas is nor standing nor sitting, rather sort of leaning over him. The person receiving the makas is not standing, sitting, rather he's leaning over, like we explained. Ela muta shenamar v'yipila ha-shefet, the shefet leans him over. V'amaka, the fellow applying the makas, maka b'yodei achas, he strikes him b'yodei achas, meaning it's just one hand that's holding that whip and whipping him b'chol koichai with all his might. V'akoirei, koirei, and the, there's a dayan, the reish of the bezin, as this is happening, he recites the psukim to explain to him, to put it in context. Why is this coming about? Because a person violates the halachos, he doesn't adhere to the mitzvahs. And take out these three words, because you continue on. With his compassion, does this to atone for our sins, to give us a clean slate for eternity. And when he's done reading this psukim and the makas is still ongoing, he goes back and recites it again until the process is over. Suppose the fellow passed away because of the makas, the chazan haknesses is potter, because he's simply following orders, he's doing the applying, as long as he applies the correct and responsible amount of makas, he's potter. He doesn't even have to go to Golis, because as we explained back in the ches, it's a shliach bezin, he's doing a mitzvah. However, let's say he miscalculated and added another extra credit. Gave him another extra lash, and that's why he died. That's really a true accident, a true shgaga, meaning he's liable for that, and he goes to Golis. What happens if Niskalkal, if the fellow sullied himself with personal waste because of this, you know, overwhelming situation, whether solid waste, liquid waste, potter, we stop the process, he's exempt from any further makos, because, as Rivan says, the chsiv v'nikla, pasuk v'nikla chichal einecha, meant to bring him to the point of shame and embarrassment, and he's already there. Rabbi the Omer, depends, ha'ish, by a man, more is required to bring him to obliterate his ego, b'rei, solid waste only, v'isha, by a woman, even b'may. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We had a whole long list of extra, you know, possible malkiyos applied to a fellow plowing, whether it's Nahal Eisan or a Shvua, and we said Ein Shvua Chalal Shvua, and that's why that doesn't really work. We had a chiddush that a person who's looking after the Shor Psula Mekdasha must be aware of the special status that it has. It could even result in a Kilayim violation by mating it or letting it work for you. The amount of makas, according to Rabban, is 39, according to Rabbi, is 40. We explained that once a person got partial, you can't revise it, but in terms of revising assessments, well, if it was a serious assessment, If we don't, if it was a mistaken assessment, we can revise it. An avera that has two laven, you can cover them both with a minimum of 42 malchus. And we have the Mishnah describing the whole painful process. Rachem mechaper oven, should be zeichet to have kapara. Through chesed and rachmim, avaloy al di yisurim mechaleim raim. You know, the Sfarim say that the effort expended in learning Torah, the yisurim, that a person faces through learning Torah, the challenges that he overcomes, that's the greatest yisurim, and atones for much, and protects a person from other types of yisurim. Should be zeicha. All the best to you and atzlacha rabbah.